4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
This is your friend. Hello.
Ma'am, I'm listening to you. Good morning.
This is your friend. I just called to say hello to Forrest.
Oh, okay, ma'am. Sorry. Good morning and have a great weekend. Good to hear your voice. Thank you. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Okay, I know the wait has been a little bit. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
What have you to report?
Me? I don't report. So I'm not a reporter.
All right.
What's up?
Well, everything's all right. I'm so okay, far. Thanks.
Hi, good.
And you're okay, too?
Mostly.
Okay.
To borrow your terms, there's always room, they tell me, but the room kind of empty now, so.
But
pack it up.
Lose,
tell me what's up.
But never lose hope. Keep focus on hope. Yeah. Okay. Let me make a point here. I want you to listen to me with some rap attention, as you always do.
Mm.
No. I am hearing. I'm raw. So I am saying to let me bring up a different perspective that I would sort of, as Mr. Ellis often make the point of bring a little balance. No, I'm 67 years. I born in March 22nd, 1953. I'm 67 years old. I'm in town long. I know Mr. Nasser in his young days as an entrepreneur, businessman of some songness and did a lot of work in Barbados. You remember there used to be a caller called the Cornbeef Man? Mr. Torf.
Yes, sir, Alvin.
Right, Alvin Torf, right. He was also an engineer, and you would know of Mr. Nassim. They were all in the same business, that kind of return and engineering thing and whatever. I remember back then when Mr. Torf had the situation when he had to move down, downtown, et cetera, and all that, court mat and all that. I remember all of that. Ain't too long. So let me get to the way. Now, I am here, Mr. Nassim. I want to make a point in respect to what he has put here. Now, a name has been mentioned. Let's say Mr. Maloney with his pre-concord, that concrete business and slab work. I am saying, if we get a number of contractors, the companies coming together and bring resources, four or six of them coming together and form a company that will be commensurate to what is existing, this competition introduced. And with that, they'll be able to tender equally for work out there. But if there is no competition, for argument's sake, obviously when you get something of a certain magnitude, the only body that can do it then would be the person that has all the capacity, capability, the equipment, etc. That is understood. You remember back then, you were in the tourism thing for some time, and you remember in the early days when there was the discussion in the port about the maxi buses. You call them what? You know what I mean? The big buses. And telling the taxi men to come together and form cooperatives, etc. And that wasn't done. But then you had companies that came together and formed the same thing. And then there was a lot of furor about it. My take on whatever is said by Mr. Nassim, I'm not going to be contentious, but I'm just going to put a perspective, is that four or six of the good contractors and leading companies could come together and get into the business of the slab that they can equally build the type of building and then let it be a competitive thing, and you choose who's the lesser of the two when you're going to tender for a job, and you that person will get the job. Once the quality work is up to standard and the prices are right and everything is okay, then competition is introduced and everybody will be comfortable. You know, with the concrete business, where we have the concrete trucks. Now we have an introduction of some of the, what we call the RNA fellow. There one or two fellows got their own concrete trucks, and you're seeing it blending, and then you're left with the choice. I would go for Tom, Dick, or I would go to the other established companies that were there before. But you've got choice. But if there's no choice, then pray tell me, don't be concerned that if there's only one source to get that said type of thing erected, well, then we obviously the owner's body. So get six contractors, six leading people, six investors or whoever to come up alongside that person and compete against them. I don't know what would be your take as regarding that.
So... You see,
that's
this thing you keep, you see, sir, I you know you keep saying who you are. Mm. I keep hearing this
come together thing.
I'm
too concerned about that.
Sir, listen, let me tell you something.
Are you sorry about that? Sorry about that. You go on.
I ain't concerned about what people think I'm concerned about you. Let me say this to you, sir. You see this come together thing that people keep talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds real nice when you say it, you know. It sounds real nice when you say it. Yeah. But the very word that you just mentioned, competition, one.
Right.
And two, this thing called ownership gets in the way.
I
have worked in the hospitality industry, as you know. I know people who own 6 taxis. Mm-hmm. They give it to 6 different people to operate, but they own all 6. And they work from the same hotel.
Okay.
Right. So here's what happens. They compete with each other.
Okay.
But they all compete to pay the same owner. How do you call that competition? You have brother cutting brother throat to try to get $40 so they could give the man who owns all the 6 taxis $25 and keep the rest. Where's the competition, sir? Where is the coming together, sir? And that's the problem that we face in everything else. You had a company that was set up between Barbados and Trinidad and Tobago to make cement for the Caribbean region. And you had Caribbean countries getting cement at a cheaper price than Barbados, where the company was based. And people asked why. And they were told, well, the cost of procuring and so on and so on.
I remember that.
And in comes Rock Hard or Hard Rock or whatever the name is. And all of a sudden, one, the price dropped. Two, they went to the CCJ to say the cement is not the same. And all that
and
went
up.
On. Yes. And then a foreign company bought into it, took it over, and a Spanish name suddenly appeared on the market. So that's called the market forces doing what happens all the time. So if you have independent operators who come together and say, we will start a bus company, but they do not have the tentacles of an established company. So you have people in Barbados who would buy a 21-seater tour bus or would buy 2 21-seater tour buses, put both of them on the port to compete against each other. When you have another company who's been in the tour business for a while and who perhaps also in the rental of villa and rental of other things, who understand the way the market works, who have contacts in other places, who would tell the cruise ship when it's in Nassau in the Bahamas, could you please send some flowers and some fruit to Augusta, the cruise director on board the Ocean of the Oceans, and tell her it's from Dennis in Barbados to say thank you. Who you think will get the work when the boat come to Barbados? Dennis in Barbados or you who ain't old cruise director?
Who will get it? I'm answering, sir.
Yes, sir.
Dennis in Barbados is going to get the work.
Thank you. Hold on. So now we walk slowly.
Yes.
So Dennis in Barbados has paved the way for Dennis in Barbados to get a little pick. If you do not have the power to do what Dennis in Barbados does, you're at a disadvantage. It don't matter where you park the bus on the by the port. It don't matter how pretty your bus look. I got a contact, and I send the lady flowers, and the lady says to the people when she meet them at dinner, when you go to Barbados, check Dennis. He's a good fellow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He has nice, clean buses, and his drivers are good. Word of mouth sells. What we have, sir, are people who get into the industry, and they don't know how to swim with the sharks. So they get chopped up, they get eaten.
Who will I fault there?
Uh-huh. My people for a lack of knowledge.
It doesn't say I can't come up to Dennis. It doesn't say I can't get the knowledge. How
will you get it?
How you got yours?
Sir, I am asking you a question. How will you get it?
Answer me. How do you get your knowledge?
I get mine by diligence. I get mine by asking. I get mine by being nice.
Same diligence.
No, sir. There are people who get there by trying to cut me down. That's what you don't want to see. And that's what I don't like about my people. Please be honest. Say it.
All I'm trying to say.
Sir, you are an electrician. That's what you say, right? You're an electrician?
No, that's what I say. I'm a licensed electrician.
You are a licensed electrician. Good.
So let's talk about that. Watch that.
You're a licensed electrician. I'm watching it. You're a licensed electrician. Starcom Network has just refurbished this building. So Starcom Network asked Rawl, regular caller, relentless, certified, bona fide, electrical genius. Give me a quotation, sir, to do this age-old building.
Right.
And you do your metrics, you do your work, you know the quality of your work, you know how many people you have to do, and you tell me, $25,000, sir. I want a $2,500 advance, and I will finish the job in 4 weeks. Right?
Yeah.
And I tell you, okay, my company says I need 3 competitive quotations. Thank you for your quotation.
Yes.
One of your people who worked with you for years.
Yeah.
Who know about you and know about the contract.
Right.
Meet me coming out the front door. Mr. Johnson, we'll all tell you $25,000, I could do it for $15,000. I got 4 men ready to work with me. You can give me a little break. Sir, that is how things get done. I have seen it happen over and over with entertainment and bands in Barbados.
It happens in
over and over. Right, sir.
So, sir,
those are the things that mitigate against what you call coming together.
But I want to tell you something, too. When you do that, right, and you're falling for a shorter and a lower price, and you get incompetence, you know you got to come back and say, but if I had gone, and whatever also, bringing that in the scenario, too.
Sir, yeah, but by then, when you say that, right, guess what? Yeah. You still ain't getting the job because I go to another $15,000 man to fix a problem. So here's my point. So if you keep saying it happens all the time and you know it, why is it we keep ducking that issue and covering it over with we need to come together, somebody pressing down on our shoulder, somebody standing up on our neck, instead of saying we doing it to ourselves, we damaging our reputation, we undercutting our value, we cutting down our fellow man because we see it as we can get ahead. So to me, and this is where my frustration comes, I am frustrated because for too long, we know what the issue is.
Yeah.
And we don't want to say it. I stand up on the corner here at River Road selling papers.
Yeah.
And somebody see me selling papers. And you know what? They go across the road, right across the road. And 9 out of 10 times is a member of my family who decide that, Dennis making too much money. He big. He can't look nicer than mine. He just changed the windows. And his children just went to New York. So I go in and sell papers across from him and tell people that he ain't good. So that's what we keep doing to ourselves. Nobody doing it to us. And when the people who understand what we're doing to ourselves exploit that difference, we say, shoot them. No, my friend. I say we need to know what it is we're doing to ourselves and stop it.
All I would say in this, I got another small point, but let me finish on this one. All I would say is once you keep flat-footed, deliver a proper, effective business and job, etc., and everything is above board and crystal clear, you leave people to choose. And when they choose and they fall down along the way by not choosing you, nothing to do with you. But once every time they point at you is reputable and proper and in good order, I think you stand a better chance. I understand what you're saying about the cutthroat and the undermining and taking it down. You understand that clearly?
Good.
They ain't had no control over that.
Really?
Because got several people come and tender and come and say, man, I could do it. Man, he tell you $10. I could do it for $3. But you get a $3 job too.
I know. And then the house burn. Huh? Go ahead. And then the house burn. Good.
Burn 3 times. Now, I am satisfied in my gut that this thing cause price gouging. And however it is addressed and skirt around and come around the other way and all what have you, I, in my estimation, I'm satisfied that if a carton of milk was $6 and got a $9, that's price gouging. I'm satisfied that if I buy a mint, because every nowadays it's rare mouse all the time, so you want to have your breath a certain way, so you keep a mint to keep your whatever may breathing in your mouth and whatever. Because you know how we could keep a mouth steady, how it would be. All right. And it's going to be 45 cents. Same thing. I said, same wrong. So I understand your position and disposition, but I stand by mine. I am satisfied in my gut. There is price gouging on the island. And there are several people who would be.
All right,
and that's my take on it. I regard you, sir.
All right, sir. I never try to convince people of anything that I believe in. WhatsApp said, my driver's license expired on the 30th of the 4th, 2020. I went to the licensing authority on 2 occasions to be told that they're not renewing private vehicles licenses as yet. Do I park my car until? I would suggest you don't try to drive the car without having your license paid for, just in case you get stopped by the officers and you don't have a letter saying, that they're not doing it till then. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
I am doing all right, and you?
I'm here. This is my first time calling the program.
It's good to have you, sir.
I just called a little discuss. I was just by one of the leading egg producers in Barbados, and I saw them dumping eggs.
Dumping?
All right.
As in throwing it away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're
spoiled? Yeah.
Okay.
So I was saying to them, so when you didn't sell them cheaper, they said that that's the price the eggs are, and that ain't got, well, they don't want to get you whole short of it. But my thing is, the position is there's an abundance, or there's a glut of eggs, chicken, whatever else in Barbados right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have people sticking up for the price when there wasn't this glut. And I live here. I could bring stuff out of the U.S. even with paying all the duties and whatever else the government implement or put in place. And it's still cheaper. But we in Barbados want to say buy 100% Beijing. And at this stage, I have gotten to the point where I no longer care about buying 100% Beijing.
Unfortunate, but...
Because it is what it is.
Yeah, I know, which is why I just said unfortunate, but... Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Right, yesterday was in the supermarket, a lunch of meat that is produced here was almost $8 for a can, and they could bring in three of those with almost the same amount of money for Benny. It is amazing. And I am one of those persons that I don't care about being local anymore. I think it's about my pocket going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just for a lot of other Beijings too.
Sadly, sir, it is. Let me say to you that some time ago, I had a conversation on this program about the effects of not having a tourist industry. And one of the things I pointed out, believe it or not, that I used was eggs. And I said that if there are 6,000 hotel rooms in Barbados, each with two persons in it, that's 12,000 people. And if each one wants two eggs for breakfast, that's 24,000 eggs on a daily basis. So if you don't have those 6,000 rooms filled, you got 24,000 eggs sitting about doing nothing. Now, we ain't talking about egg for cakes or anything else. We're talking about scrambled eggs, fried eggs, poached eggs for breakfast. Just breakfast. That's 24,000 eggs that nobody can buy. And if you know you have that kind of egg stockpiled for the hotel industry, or you got layers or whatever coming in, you need to start getting rid of them as fast as possible. Hope that people making eggnog and, you know, all sorts of things, and they want egg. So start pushing on the market, advertisements all over the place. You know, it's time to support your eggs. Look at what's happening with the, and I picked those three, the egg and poultry producers and milk, because the hotel industry takes up a lot of that, and the fast food restaurants that were closed. So now you have in the newspaper today, supermarkets saying, we're not going to sell any frozen chicken. And Mr. Paul, you know, jumping up and down. You know, sir, we don't understand, apparently. I kept saying that our market seems to work in reverse. And I got, you know, flogged by the experts for sticking my nose into things I don't know. But we always seem to work in the reverse. When people realize that the demand is dropping, they rush and drop the price and try to make it enticing for you to buy. Here in Barbados, it seemed to be, well, I can't sell 20,000 to the hotel, so the next 10 people that come in here can pay for that 20,000. That's not the way to sell things. And when I talk about, when I talked about a news story back in 2013 about dumping milk, my news team came in with a note from Mr. Paul saying, nobody's dumping milk in Barbados. Now you tell me they're dumping eggs. Okay, because they are.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, they didn't see it for us, but I was
so I believe you. So I believe you, and I believe there'll be more dumping going on of other things because our hotels are closed and they consume a lot of those things, milk, eggs, and the fast food restaurants and the chicken. That's why correct. We have a glut of those things. And then, of course, people are driving less. Buses are running less. Jet skis are not in correct. Operation. So the service stations will be selling less fuel.
Correct. Right.
Which means that some service stations may close. Some may be on reduced hours. And that's all a process of what's happening. And some of them have mini marts they used to sell things.
Right. They don't realize that they could get a profit by selling more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. But they don't look at it that way. They look at it as this is the price and this is what it's set at. Right. You mm-hmm. got to learn to find another avenue of generating a profit in Barbados in this current atmosphere.
Correct.
Right. As I said, I'm disgusted with the way business is done in Barbados. For instance, like the restaurant in Barbados, they cater for the tourists that come into Barbados, and that's their basic market. But they forget that there's a six-month lull where there are only Bajans on the island or very few tourists.
Mm-hmm.
So then we, as Bajans, I am not going to go into your establishment and pay $150 for a plate. When you look back at the tourist season, when it comes back into full swing, the senior tourists that they're caring to are going to Oyston, Cigars Gap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making it, a true Barbadiana experience that they want. But if they were to cater for locals, they will also be pulling more tourists because the price point is not too far off for them. But they're looking at, they have on blinders to their market, and that's it.
So I got to work with you on this one because again it's one of the things. There's a gentleman called Clyde Taylor who I worked with at two hotels, and Clyde and I have these discussions on air from time to time. I have a lot of respect for him. I say so openly, and one of the things we talk about all the time is who is hospitality, and when people talk to me about staycations, I always say to them, look. The problem is a lot of people who work in hotels have never seen their hotels through the eyes of a visitor. And that is sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for years, the locals felt they were closed out of hotels. The barriers across the door, the security guard who say you couldn't come in and sit down with your wife and watch a night show and enjoy a meal because they're full up with tourists. So they had a bad impression of the industry and what it did. And it is unfortunate because those are the people you need to rely on to sell your product. I remember at one hotel having a discussion with the general manager and telling him that the guy who cleans the pool on mornings should know what we serve at our restaurants and what it tastes like. And he asked me why.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because the guests lying down sunbathing in the morning and using the pool not going to see you or the restaurant manager. They can see the guy cleaning the pool. And they can ask him, where is a good place to eat tonight? What is your restaurant serving? And if he say, boss, I don't know, but Eddie's down the road that serves some real good fish. Where you think the person going? By Eddie's down the road. So when your food and beverage not making money, it's because your people who interact on a daily basis with your staff don't know what you serve. The houseman, the room service person, the room service may know. But the maid who cleans the room should know what your fine dining restaurant serving tonight and whether it tastes good or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, sir, that's why I said earlier, we kill ourselves. We kill ourselves.
Right. One last point I want to leave with you.
Mm-hmm.
A business partner of mine, we were talking the other day, and I was playing devil's advocate. Then I heard the leader of the DLP talking about diversifying our economy. So I was saying we have no natural resources. We don't have any. We don't have anything to speak about. One thing really we have is tourism, not even agriculture, because supplement what we need to get going.
Right.
So I said, but we could diversify our tourism product, right? And he was saying, how do you diversify tourism? I said, well, you got your 5-star or 3-diamond hotels in Barbados, and people would pay for that. Then you got your standards all inclusive. But then you got to come with something unique. You could pitch a true Barbadiana experience where you have the government or the tourism authority come and vet persons that are interested in having people come and stay with them. Mm-hmm. So that you know that persons coming into Barbados are safe and vice versa. And you would have that, I believe that part of the tourism package would take off because persons want to have a true experience when they visit a different country.
Can't you say you're wrong.
Pardon?
I say I can't say you're wrong. It is something you remember. The kindness of the people that you run into will always be will always be something you recall. Absolutely,
correct.
Sir.
Correct. That is one way to basically diversify our package and set us apart from the rest of the Caribbean. Whereas, you know, I stayed with the Pauls and they ate this and they did this. You mm-hmm. know, and you remember that for the rest of your life.
All the rest of your life. And let me also say to you, right, that mm-hmm. believe it or not, according to the mm-hmm. people who do tourism marketing, etc., word mm-hmm. of mouth is the reason why people mm-hmm. go to destinations. When a friend goes and comes back and says, I had a great time there, that beats all the television advertising, all the pretty pictures of palm trees and waterfalls that you could possibly think of. My friend went, had a good time, I go in. That's the best selling point you got. Make sure that when the person leaves, they become an ambassador for you. And that, sir, is what will make us stand out from the rest. I with you on this, sir. We're on the same page, and I am really sorry that you had to watch the eggs going into the ground. But at least it spurred you to call. So there is good over bad.
Yeah.
And you've made some good points. Enjoyed it terribly, sir. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much. 4341790 Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
How are you doing?
I am all right. How are you?
You sound all right. You sound in good name.
Well, I try not to let too many of them hit me in the process.
No. Don't worry if you just get it. No, hit in the center of the stumps. No, don't do it at all. I called in connection here. I've heard, as you rightly call him sometimes, Brother Nasser. I've heard him on this morning. I've heard him on prayer. Mm-hmm. But this morning I chose to call because he mentioned the issue of concrete structures and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Who get what not. But, you know, sometimes it make you wonder. I mean, let me say this here. I think he still gets some to pay. What about people like me? And the matter in which that he spoke on, I am one of the people who should be crying out because...
Well, you made the contribution? You made...
DJ, you're a very naughty fella.
I didn't see a contribution to what?
DJ, I was one of the first people fabricating concrete structures around the place in the construction area. On a serious note, I put down the late 90s, early 2000s, quite a few concrete manholes in the road. Some people never knew they went down because I remember putting down some on Baxter's Road a night in over weekend. And I think the Miller guy is still alive. He mentioned it on the call-in program that he went down and he saw these concrete structures in the road. And that was about 6, 7 o'clock. You see, he came back up after 11, 12 o'clock the night, and he wanted to know what happened if they removed them. He didn't realize that there was the areas was excavated, the concrete manholes were in, and they were covered back up, and the road was back to normal to operate the next day. I would have put concrete manholes, I put in as much as 12 in the St. Philip area in one weekend. There are people here who can do the work. Qualifications to do it, that is another thing that we need to talk about, but who can talk about it? The only problem you're going to get when you are of a certain shade of pale is that when you go to get financing that you don't get it. Then if you drive up to Green Hill, and going to the concrete, the construction company, which still operates from Green Hills. And you, before you go in the gate to the left, you will see quite a few concrete manholes. I mean concrete manholes that value at the cost of $6,000-$7,000 in putting their steel, concrete, whatever. They're there. Let's say recess from jobs not coming through. And that's a loss. What I'm saying, and by the way, none of the joints are leaking or anything like this. By the way, no, that's a loss in cash. The fact, what I'm trying to say, there are people of all colors, creeds in Barbados who have the ability to do jobs. Don't ask me why they don't get them. I could tell you some of the problems that I would have met. Those people that they put in charge of the jobs, your, or what we would call your own people,
my people,
they find all kind of excuse. They want to test this, they want to test that, all kind of things to make it difficult for you.
And the question, sir, is why?
Go ahead.
Why?
Pardon?
Why? That's the same point I was making when I say we stab each other, break each other's kneecaps off, and when people exploit the wide highway that we open up between each other, we say we're being exploited. But we do it because we do it to ourselves.
But then if I listen to you very often, we are our old enemies. And I mean this. I would have said this over and over and over. We have a black police force. We have a black fire service. We have a black hospital. I'm speaking of staff wise. And still we would not get things run. There's always fighting and bickering and all such like. And there are other minute individuals in this country that operate smooth before any problems whatsoever.
But if they got problems, they don't come out in the
you better
they don't come out in the public.
But if they have problems, which is, let me say, 10% of the 300,000 or so people, if they got a 10%, the problems are solved within there. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, they do. And so, do you know how it is solved? I could tell you how it's solved, you know.
I'm not so bright, Dennis.
Well, I ain't so bright neither, but you know, sometimes when you're cleaning up the garden, you hear the master talking. So you hear the master calling the brother or the cousin and saying, listen. You see this foolishness? It got to stop. Because instead of you getting 500, you ain't getting nothing and I ain't getting nothing.
So if
you keep yourself quiet, you can get 300, I can get 200, and we can get 500. So just hush, you know. And you could come back next week and pick up the thing.
So Dennis, what the question I'm asking?
And matter fix, it's solved.
Going on in Barbados that no other person that doing them can do them. I've built all kind of houses by numbers in Barbados.
Built Perhaps you built for the wrong people.
None the joints are leaking. None the roofs are leaking. Every roof at Sherbourne, you may not know this. Every roof at Sherbourne.
You mean the Lloyd Erskine Sandy for Sherbourne?
I know
you're talking.
630 tons of steel in those buildings up there. Your humble servant, with a crew, supervisor, manage all the putting up there. But could you hear me on the air quarreling with anybody because I don't get work? No. One thing that I'm certain of, I have to live in this country. I born here. I've been many places, but I intend to live here. What I have as a consolation, and I like people to hear this, you see when we cut one another's throat, we do wrong things to one another. Dennis, my consolation is that one even thing is we all take sick and die. Let us all remember that. Dennis, you do have a pleasant day, and thank you.
Sir, my friend, it is always good to hear you.
Same here, my friend.
To you, sir, thank you very much. It is unfortunate. It really is unfortunate when we bring our differences to the public as often as we do, and we downplay our successes. It is unfortunate. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello? And let me read this one again because it seems to be coming up really often. Good morning, Mr. Johnson. There seems to be a problem with some people filing income tax returns. They can't get through to the numbers. When they input their, I've emailed them, called several numbers, no answer. I've tried to change the password, and although the answer to the security questions, I still can't log in. We've had comments from people who said change to Firefox, people who said they've done other things. I have relayed my personal experience, which was they told me my security questions were wrong. The answers were wrong, but the answers were the same answers that I put. There seems to be an issue with the changing of passwords. And whatever the problem is, maybe there are lots of people trying to get in before the deadline, as we usually do, wait until the last moment and try to file. Maybe they're overwhelmed. Maybe they're working really hard to sort out those that they've already received. I don't know what the problem is. What I can say is that if there's an issue with the Barbados Revenue Authority and the filing of income tax claims and people can't log on, they need to do what the National Insurance has done, and that is take out messages, tell the public what the problems they may be experiencing, how to reach them, steps to take, things to do. And I make this appeal to businesses, all the entities, some of those who take full page, full color ads in the newspaper, to realize that when things go wrong, people don't call the newspaper. They call a radio station. And furthermore, they expect the hosts of this program to know the answers to everything. Contrary to what was put out, I don't know the answer to everything. I could only tell you the challenges and some of the steps that have been taken. When I say radio works, I'm not just emptily saying things. It works. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Now, I just want to touch on something here that I constantly hear from mm-hmm. public servants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they constantly say that they ask the question why they are always asked to bear the burden of the, right?
Of the,
Now, right, and the cuts and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but who are the people who really bear the burden of this economy? I just want to say a few things in here if you want. Now, this is largely an import economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to earn substantial amounts of foreign currency to pay for our imports. Who are the people who have to do, to my mind, the hotel workers and other people who are the foreign currency earners have to finance these things? Good?
Mm-hmm.
And the burden on them.
Nine out of ten times.
That's right. The burden is on all the foreign currency earners, the hotel workers, people who are in the rum manufacturing, whatever, all those are good. Now, right now we talk about our foreign reserves. And these, as you know, were built largely from foreign borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
The IMF, IDB, CDB, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who will eventually earn the foreign currency to repay these loans?
The persons who work in the hospitality industry,
who
earn foreign exchange.
All right. Good, again. Now, then look at again. Now, we have an economy that is largely, in fact, all the major profit takers in the country are largely foreign-owned. Naturally, we have to find funds every year to repatriate profits to these entities. Who will earn the foreign currency to repay
them? I was waiting on you to come to that because of something I heard earlier this week, and I was waiting to hear you. Go ahead.
Who will earn the foreign currency to repay these, to repatriate these profits? The same people.
The same people who bring foreign exchange into the country from whatever source. Legitimately, I might add.
And the hotel workers and the rum manufacturers, the people who work in rum and all these people, these are the mm-hmm. people who really, in fact, and of course, to fund us to travel, and even when we have foreign direct investment, funds eventually flow back out.
Mm-hmm.
So, these people. So, what I'm saying is that people, they don't seem to see the real picture see those people who carry the burden of the economy. Nobody pays them any mind. So, and there they no spade. What is interesting is the people who are there. What is sad is, and not Barbados alone, but I find that the people who earn foreign currency in almost every country. Had the lowest paid in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad fact of life.
Yo, so I don't think we follow the movement of foreign exchange in and out of the country the way you do. I heard someone on the program making the point that, or the point they were trying to make, I didn't think they were getting the point across to the moderator at the time, was that a company like Emera should be able to purchase fuel on the world market because they're a foreign-owned company, and then sell it to their companies in Barbados, Dominica, wherever, so we pay them in Barbados dollars. And I sat there saying, okay, so if they do that, they now have a whole batch of Barbados dollars that at some point they'll want to repatriate. And they will want foreign currency to send it out of the country. So all you've done really, if you've done that and said to Emera, buy your oil from your head office in Canada with your Canadian dollars, but send it to Barbados and Dominica and St. Lucia. All you've done is pushed off the getting the foreign currency from this week to the end of the year, because they can still have to repatriate, as you say, their profits or the funds they've used in Canadian dollars, US dollars, Swiss francs, or whatever. So that's why I said the way you track the movement of foreign currency through the system is not followed by a lot of people. So the things you sometimes try to point out, you know, doesn't get the kind of traction that other things would get. The other question I wanted to ask you, though, was the issue of issuing savings bonds as part of your remuneration package. Now, I try not to get into the names that they're giving it, because every time I look at it, I see a different name. I see today there's another name again for it. It's now the Barbados Optimal Savings Scheme. What's your thought on that type of savings instrument for those who can afford it, including credit unions, banks, etc.?
Well, let me tell you. First of all, as an investment analyst, right?
Mm-hmm.
The tools that an investment analyst would use to analyze a bond, whether to purchase a bond or not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at a few factors, Mr. Johnson. The practical reality.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose this is a company that you were trying to invest in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a company that just had to defaulted on its debt.
Mm-hmm.
It had to restructure its debt and reduce interest rates and principal and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You have a situation where it had to contract substantial additional loans.
Mm-hmm.
You have a situation where you have COVID, which has reduced substantially an economy that is exceedingly weak.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, even in the best of times, tourism is sickle far less now.
Right.
So if you look at all the factors, as an investment, if you look at all the factors, I don't see any merit at all
in doing it.
That would favor them. I don't see any factor that would favor buying them, to be honest, as an investor.
Okay.
For me. Now, people will buy them because, obviously, in this situation, I guess they have no option.
No, they got to, well, you see, and that's why I say it's how you said it, because the points that I saw that I think would, and that's why I call it sweetening the pot, they would look at the 5% interest, they look at interest paid twice a year, they look at the guarantee that, quote unquote, they won't get a haircut, and they would look at, let's say I have, $10,000 sitting down in the bank getting 0.05%, and I want to put $5,000 on it because I don't think I can need it for the next 3 years. I might want to do that. But that's because I got $10,000 and now in the bank doing nothing. You know,
yes,
I'll
sir.
Say five in case I need it. And the other thing is saying, you know, if you had a bond market, you could sell it at a discounted price. So, you know, you might get a $5,000 bond sold for $4,500. I see those as being sweeteners, but I don't think we have that kind of bond market.
But let me ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to buy one of these bonds, given mm-hmm. the present economic environment and so on, and the government's financial state,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I would not buy one of these bonds in the secondary market.
Well, and that's why I asked you, because I know what it is you usually pay attention to. Because again, this is just my feeling, and it's not based on anything scientific. I don't think my people ask questions of those who are involved in this to give them the kind of advice before they take action. They usually listen to gossip and, you know, feel good and feel bad and, you know, that kind of thing. And unfortunately, the education side of it is usually limited. And I want to thank you for your contribution.